Skull, everybody. This is Alexander Ludwig, and you are listening to The Wild Hunt.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Wild Hunt. Here we are at the mid-season finale. This is the No Ship Network podcast on the History Channel series Vikings. If you hadn't already picked that up, I'm your host, Steve.
I'm your host, Paul.
And I'm your host, Em.
And if you like what you hear, head on over to noship.net and check out all of the other stuff we do and check us out on the TV Time app and leave us a review on iTunes. That's actually what we really want. So go ahead and do that. As described, we are discussing Vikings Season 5, Episode 10, Moments of Vision. This was written by Michael Hurst and directed by Daniel Grau. What did you guys think? First takes.
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I really did. Just the way that they filmed it, how they jumped around, everything about it was just perfect.
Yes, I thought it was well done. As far as the pacing and the memories and the sort of mournful way of opening up the episode with the song, which, like I described, it was mournful, yet it was uniting people at the same time, and some of those are being united for one last time. I didn't think it did much for the story, but I'm not the only one who thinks that, actually, so we'll talk about that later
when yeah,
we get to hashtag no ships and feedback.
I thought an alternate title for the episode could have been called Blue Balls, because you just get all worked up and worked up and worked up, and then when it ends, you're like, what, holy crap, what are you talking about? But I mean, whatever shortcomings it has, you know, as far as not pushing the story forward, doesn't stop it from being like a full stop, amazing to watch episode. I mean, it was beautiful.
It was
really beautiful. And I don't know if this happened to everybody who was watching it live, but we, Em and I went over to her dad's house and watched it on his TV because he has History Channel. And so what they do is for that hour beforehand, they play last week's episode. And then they didn't stop it at the right time, or they had in too many commercials or something, but it went over time. So the first time that we saw it, the song that goes on between Halfdan and Harald is truncated down to literally like 1 second, and then the credits go.
I think we missed like 2/3 of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We missed a lot. So that was the first thing that – I don't know if this was like a local cable issue of screw up locally, or if this was something that – you know, people had to go and rewatch again on another platform to be able to get the whole episode or not. So I'm sure hopefully somebody's feedback will address that if that happened to other people. But that beginning part is just, it sets the tone for the episode. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's
integral.
Made me cry just a little tiny bit.
Yeah. But I had a lot of moments like that in this episode.
Definitely a tearjerker.
I do have some hashtag no ships just for like an overall discussion of the episode before we get into the recap.
Sure, go ahead.
We have two from Vaughn Brown, and he says, wasn't sure about the way they chose to shoot the battle scenes with the jumping around and one-on-one moments, but I got into it artistically and enjoyed it. Hashtag Vikings, hashtag no ship. And he also said, I wasn't thrilled how little I felt the story progressed after this episode. I was hoping for more than what we got. Hashtag no ship. Rich Stack said, now that's how you do a season finale, half season finale, mid. We think it's coming back this year, right? Now that's how you end a show for a while. Our guess is coming back in November because that's been the trend of late.
Yeah, if we're going by past behavior indicating future behavior, then we will see season 5B in November, the end of November, practically December. So. You know, it used to be that 10 episodes was a season, but now, you know, they're half season. So whatever. It's all good. All right. So the episode opens with the beautiful scene that we've been talking about of Halfdan and Harald singing back and forth to each other, their voices echoing across the landscape, basically touching everybody who hears it. Every major character and even some non-major characters get a little bit of screen time reacting to what they're hearing. And it is... I'm running out of adjectives that don't get too repetitive to describe how good it is.
It seems like Ivar and Haman were the only ones who didn't heed the song.
Yeah, because you're right. That's a good point, because Ivar just had his mean mug on. You know, like he's so yeah. ready to be like just all, I'm going to go kill Lagertha and do this and that. And Haman was
praying.
In prayer.
Yeah.
So he doesn't give a shit. Probably sounds like gibberish to him anyway. He's like, whatever, heathens. So the war drums call the Vikings to battle, and the sides form up, and arrows are loosed. And at this point, things start to get a little bit wobbly as far as the narrative is concerned. So the way I broke down this episode is by character. I went and I tried to keep it in as much of a linear fashion as I could. So we start with Lagertha, and she kisses the symbol of Thor, that she's the hammer that she's wearing around her neck. And her and Haman have a little talk about life and death and that still being a choice to Haman, whereas she's still being fatalistic about it. And then they have the kiss that everybody wanted to see, right? This was something that the fans were clamoring for. But she tells him, she says, if we live, we might find some happiness in Midgard. And he's like, look, I'm not ready to die yet. I'm not today. It's not going to happen. And to be honest, I don't remember seeing him. The last time you see him, I think, is when he does his nod to Ivar at the end of the episode. Yeah. So you don't see him back at Kattegat unless he's way in the background. But they definitely don't make a point to let you see him when he's back in Kattegat. So I'm assuming he survives. I think he did. All right. So what did you guys, anything to say about this scene in specific? It comes and goes pretty fast, but.
Puke? No.
Yeah. besides Grody.
You know, I mean. I'm glad that the episode got better after that. It was like a small hiccup for me. Cause it's like, okay, we get it. They're in love, obviously. And for her to be like, oh, now I can go to battle was just kind of like, ah, okay, whatever, you know?
Yeah, like it took all of the reasons that she could possibly have to die and to go to battle for. A kiss from him is the one where she's like, now I can die.
It's too much too quickly for me. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to understand what exactly made her okay with the fact that she could die at that moment. And I didn't come up with any good answers.
It's not really me given either. To you. Yeah. So that's, I agree. It is a little bit of a hiccup. It's not as bad as having Margaret on screen, but anyway, moving on. All right.
I don't know. I'd take a little crazy Margaret over them making out. I'm not going to lie. Cause at least she was entertaining.
Yeah. That should be your new name. Mad Regret.
Yeah. I like that.
So Fitzurk. Fitzurk and Ivar discuss thoughts or memories, which I thought was an interesting question. What do you fear more, losing your the ability to think or losing your memories? And that's a hard choice right there. How do you even decide between the two of them? I mean, I know people say like memories are who we are, but to not have thoughts at present time, I mean, that would suck too.
I mean, it seems like you would be just afflicted if you didn't have thought. Like, you wouldn't be able to make a decision to save your life.
Yeah, well, you'd just be a vegetable.
I don't know, weird question.
It is a weird question. Ivar's just weird.
Like, well, you're screwed either way, you know?
True.
I mean, memories are helpful because it does teach you things. So, like, you learn maybe you shouldn't pet that polar bear or something or whatever. It's a terrible example, but you know what I mean. But
don't swim
but
with
then
sharks.
You're just going to be lost, like, forever without your memories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like I'd rather just be dead than lose either of them.
I did think it was an interesting conversation. Did you have more to flesh out about that before I
Well, I was going to go. I was just going to talk about how they get to the whole children thing where they talk about regret. And he's like, Fitzurk regrets that he doesn't have children. And Ivar's like, oh, I'm going to have children and my children are going to populate the world. And he's like, yeah, right. You know, and then he just holds the knife to his neck and he's like, all right, dude, cut it out. We have to go to battle. Why are you going to kill somebody who is inexplicably awesome in battle like me? You know, I'm on your side.
I got the feeling the way Fitzurk said Ivar to stop him from cutting his neck is that he's probably been in that situation many times with Ivar.
Well, you remember that one scene of the season before when they're all kind of like doing swordplay and stuff and he throws the axe at
Sigurd.
Yeah.
Yep.
So exactly proves your point. I mean, obviously he has moments of temper tantrums that can be crucially, you know, bad for your life. So it was interesting to see how fast he pulled that knife too. I mean, I don't know if they sped it up or if that's just how quick he did it because it was like lightning.
So he apologizes. Ivar apologizes and Fitzurk's like, you're sorry? And he goes, well, I'm sorry that you jumped ship. That you jumped off to Ube's ship and came with me because I feel like that was a mistake and you've been regretting it every day. And he's like, no, I don't regret it. And they get further into that conversation and he does kind of get it out of him that, yeah, it's a regret, but, you know, anyway.
I thought we were going to get a final say from Fitzurk about how he felt about fatalism at this point, but it just seems to me either I was misinterpreting his pontification over it. and thinking that he was actually trying to search himself out about how he felt about it. But it almost seems like he was thinking about fate versus free will as a way to deal with his decision for jumping off the boat. Like he needed to maybe sugarcoat it a little bit.
That's probably right. Yeah, because he's, you know, Ivar saying, you know, the guy, you didn't make a decision. The gods pushed you off of the boat. And he's like, no, don't take that away from me. You know, that was a decision that I made. It was a bad one. You know, who would have stayed with Ivar? I mean, raise your hands. Yeah, nobody just raised their hand. So, but he talks about the regret. Ivar talks about his regret. And he says, I thought you got off the ship because you loved me, but how could you ever love me? And Fitzurk doesn't say anything for a second, and then he's about to, and Harald comes in, and he says, it's time to go. So if you look closely, Fitzurk's mouth opens up, and he has a response, but he never gets it out, because Harald comes in and goes, all right, get off your asses and let's go. The war drums are beating.
Huh.
So I wonder, we're never going to know, at the very least, not till the end of the year, what he was going to say if, you know, that thread ever gets picked back up again. Because as far as we know, Fitzurk lived. And after the events of this episode, he's not going to obviously be welcome back in Kattegat. So
it's hard to know what he's thinking.
Yeah, probably
he
because
hesitated
he's
a bit too long, though. You know, it's like if you're talking to your girlfriend or boyfriend, and you're like, I love you, and I don't think you love me. And you wait that long of a hesitation. No need to say anything else. They don't love you. It's too long.
That's a great point. It doesn't even have to be your girlfriend or boyfriend. It could be anybody who you're going to say that to. Family, yeah. Close friends, whatever. If they hesitate that long, you know what I mean? It's like, wait. It's like, you don't think I'm ugly, do you? But oh, okay, all right. I just got my answer. Thanks, guys.
Exactly.
So,
poor Fitzurk.
We see Fitzurk out in battle, and he gets knocked down to the ground, which I really liked because I have just never been sold on the fact that this guy is a badass out on the battlefield. It's just never been, I guess it's just by merit of the fact that he's a Ragnar son and I just have to accept it. But he gets the wind knocked out of him and he has a vision of the day that he left on, that he got off of Ube's boat and made that decision to stay with Ivar. And then he feels Ivar's knife at his neck again, really reinforcing the fact that this was a bad decision. And Ivar repeats what he had said earlier in the flesh in this vision to him and talks about how it was a mistake. So we fast forward a little bit and Fitzurk meets Ube on the battlefield and spares his life twice, really.
Ube spares his life.
Yeah, Ube spares Fitzurk's life. And he does it twice in a row, which should also show you that, you know, this one brother has repeatedly puts a knife to your neck. You know what I mean? Twice in this one episode. The other brother brings his sword right to your neck but can't bring himself to do it. Then goes for another swing and actually turns the energy, the kinetic energy of that swing to kill somebody else who's coming from behind. So right then and there, if Fitzurk actually had a head on his shoulders, he should have decided, I made a really bad decision here. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, the other brother also killed his other brother.
Yes.
So even before all that, he should have stayed on the boat.
Like, if he didn't know then, which I guess he didn't, now he should know.
Now, do you think Fitzurk wanted to die because he made the wrong decision? Because obviously he just stood there and waited for his brother to hit him. Or did he know Ube wasn't going to actually connect and kill him?
That's a great question. I think my answer to that is yes to the first part of it. I think that I've already screwed this situation up. I've foobarred it, you know, so just go ahead and kill me because I'm just going to keep making poor decisions from here on out. But the fact that Ube spared his life and he got to go keep fighting, I think made it feel like to Fitzurk that the gods were on his side and now fate is pushing him in a certain direction.
Huh.
Of course, that fate just pushes him to go kill Guthrum.
Yeah.
What good does that fucking do?
And Ube is trying to hook up with Torvi.
So the gods kind of need to intervene and let somebody have a follow through and kill him. You know, whether it's his brothers or Torvi or somebody else, because he's just going to keep making stupid decisions, you know, and screwing things up. That's what I think. All right. Now we get to kind of one of the less impressive and weirder scenes of a overall really, really great episode is Snæfrid. And we have her hanging out with Bjorn and then a very quick cut to her getting her battle paint put on. And then she leaves with her father to take the places with the rest of the Sami warriors on the battlefield to do what they do best. The, you know, the blow darts and the arrows and what looks like a hacky sack on a string that they're swinging around. I'm not really sure what that is. Do you know what that is?
I think they're called a bolera. Let me double check. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
It was a weird edit choice there to have them calmly sitting there with her, you know, in his arms. And then they quickly cut to her getting made up with her father, I believe. Something like that. It was really jarring.
There's no connective tissue scene right there. It just goes from one to the other. And you're not lost, but you feel the switching of the gears. It's like it's grinding a little bit. You're like, whoa.
And then Bjorn still comes over again anyway to commune with her before she leaves. So I actually wondered if that other scene was even necessary. They could have had a smoother edit.
Yeah, I agree.
It's called a bola. B-O-L-A. I was close.
Bola.
I was close.
Okay.
Yes.
So I wondered, like, whatever is in that little thing at the end of it is deadly.
Yeah, it's like a weight. You know, they could put like powdered lead or steel or rocks or anything like that. Usually you would take them and whip them around and throw them and it would tangle around people's legs. Or you can do like she did and just fucking swing them and fuck people up.
So the Ewoks used these to pretty good effect in Return of the Jedi.
Okay. Same weapon.
All right. Yeah, they were. She's kind of like a little Ewok herself, really, because when you see her running around and fighting, she looks like a little kid. You know, and I'm not trying to make anybody who's petite out there feel bad about it. It's not my intention. I'm just saying she, especially with the way her headgear and everything, I don't know, she just looked like a child out on the battlefield.
This is what Princess Leia would have looked like if she had never gotten back with the Rebellion 10 years later.
So she sees her dad dead. And she goes over and, you know, she's sad over his corpse and he's like, father. And then she goes back into the fray and it's just not very impressive. I thought she was going to take a few people out in like a fit of anger and just propulsive rage. But she gets killed pretty quick, you know, courtesy of an axe to the head.
I think she was in shock.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I just didn't think she used that bola very well anyway. I mean, it's like she was going to hit herself. A couple of times.
Right.
She did get a few knife stabs in, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, she wasn't very terrifying or anything with that or intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a question. With her and her dad dead, does that make Bjorn king of their land because they got married?
Yeah, I guess so. But I guess we just take it for granted that they did get married, even though we didn't have a wedding ceremony or anything like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to have to. I mean, we're going to have to assume that that's the case because either that or he's going to have to go like he's going to have to go up against a bunch of people who are like, hey, listen, you've been on the scene for 5 minutes, bud. You know what I mean? We're not letting you be the king of everything. Plus, I don't think Bjorn has an interest in he was more interested in her not being
the
king.
Well, if they have to flee, that's an out for him.
Ah, you know what I mean? That's true. Yeah, he could just go with them back up north, even further north. Huh.
Yeah, if I was part of their people, I would just follow Bjorn anyway.
Yeah, just feel like it. I'm going to go with that big guy over there because if I stand behind him, I should be okay.
That dude doesn't use a shield and just wrecks people. More of a barbarian than a Viking.
Mm-hmm. He's just freaking massive. He's like three times her size.
Yeah.
I was watching an episode and I was like, because when he later on, when he bends down to, you know, see that she's dead, I was like, oh my God. It's crazy. He could, like, swallow her.
I have some hashtag no-ships about them.
All right.
Jasmine Nightbloom says, the seer said Bjorn would marry a princess. He didn't say how long she live. Hashtag no-ships, hashtag Vikings. And Simona says, Bjorn's princess died. End of story. She remained just another weirdo with whom lusty dummy Bjorn had an affair. Poor Torvi. Feel sorry for her. Hashtag no-ship, hashtag Vikings.
Now he's back hot for Torvi.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, girl.
No.
You're not serious about my half-brother, are you? Speaking of half-brothers or whole brothers, there's Halfdan, who is...
He was the gem of this season.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I would wear a shirt that says Team Halfdan.
It's so, I mean, if I were to ask myself, would you ever, ever imagine Halfdan featuring large in your heart at some point in Vikings? Like, prior to the season, I've been like, hell no.
No.
Not Skrillex.
Skrillex. We haven't called him Skrillex. Yeah. See, now that title is beneath him. He is not Skrillex. He's Halfdan. All right. So Halfdan talks with Bjorn, and he says that he owes... Well, Bjorn says that he heard them singing to each other this morning, and he says, this must be tough for you. And he goes, I owe my brother so much, but I owe you so much more. I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't say that exactly, but that is his sentiment. He says, adventure, friendship, and finding out that life is more than just fighting for lands and worthless glory. That's what Bjorn was able to teach him, and he's appreciative of that. And he, you know, they honestly had a bond together, and it's awesome. And Bjorn, all he can do is just say thank you. And I thought it was really sweet. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of the battle, Halfdan has a vision of the desert where I believe he truly learned to live. This is where he wants to go back to. I think he's almost would be more interested in going somewhere that reminds him of that forever than going to Valhalla.
Well, he's somehow achieved on his own spiritually what Floki's trying to give to everybody up in Iceland, and he's failing to do so.
It's a good point.
To yeah. break away from fighting over land and, mm-hmm. and their culture up until that point.
That is a great point. I didn't think of that, but it makes perfect sense. You're right. Halfdan was able to come to that individually on his own, and Floki's trying to give it to a group of people, but the same human tendencies are just replicating themselves over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So what will we attribute to Halfdan finding that secret? What did he allow for himself for him to get there?
To me, it seems like it was he had to break away from the influence of his brother and just realize that there was more out there uh-huh. in life. And he was already aiming in that direction at the beginning of the season, because I remember he told Bjorn, he was like, I want to live every day, you know, the joy, the pain, all of it. And so he just took that to its logical conclusion,
right.
I think, and did it and just made good on the change.
So he went on a hero's journey in a way.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. yeah, you could say that. And I think that's why he was okay with dying, because he felt complete after it. He felt like he had achieved what he needed to achieve, and he wasn't lacking anymore. You know, he didn't feel like there was something inside of him that was missing, I guess, because he had done this spiritual journey. At least that's what I'm going to take from it. So he fights viciously, dispatching foes with sword and axe, no shield. No shield necessary. I notice I'm like, so some of these other people just have one or the other, or they've got a shield and a sword or a shield and an axe. He's just got one of each, you know, offensive weapon and no defense whatsoever. He doesn't need it. And I mean, he is just kicking ass out there. And then he meets Harald, and he offers no resistance to what's about to happen to him. And on the second or third watch, I noticed that he sees him, and then he walks from behind him.
Yeah.
He had every chance mm-hmm. to dispatch him and then move on with life. He could have killed King Harald.
Or avoided yeah. him on the battlefield.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Or just avoided him, turned the other direction, and yeah. went away. Because when you see the aerial shots of this battle, I mean, you can get lost in that thing.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that any of these people actually fought each other is really plot-ish, because they probably never would have. You know, because how do you make your way to, I guess it's fate that's intervening and making sure that these people mm-hmm. all match up and get a fight with each other. So Harald wastes no time and just slices him in the neck, and he goes down on his knees, and the sand falls through his fingers, and he thinks, this is life. And I'm wondering if that's like symbolic, and he's talking about how, you know, life is just like the
sands in the hourglass.
Sands in the hourglass slipping through our fingers. These are the days of our lives type of thing. And then he looks at his brother and he says, and this is death.
And that's part of living too. And he wanted to live life to the fullest. So he's experiencing mm-hmm. death.
Hmm.
Like hmm. almost purposely.
Huh. I didn't even look at it like that. I mean, I knew that he, like, because we just talked about how he could have done a couple of other things, but he decided to do that. So he did want to do it. But I didn't think of it as using death as a purposeful experience, like going, okay, now I'm going to die, and we're going to see what this is like, and go to the next thing.
Yeah, on to the next.
And
around Harald just want to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Well, I knew he wasn't. Well, kind of knew he wasn't going to raise like a blade to his brother, because he says, I owe my brother a lot, and I owe you a lot. So when he doesn't like actually swing on him, it kind of made sense to me. And the fact that he feels like he owes him something, obviously, and he loves him. So he was just kind of taking the higher road and just letting out. Maybe he was surprised that his brother swung on him. He didn't look it. I just think he knew he wasn't ever going to lift a sword towards him.
Yeah.
Know? Just like if he ran into Bjorn in another fight, I think it would be the same thing, to where it would be like, I can't raise my sword to a friend and a family member like the Ragnarssons could. unfortunately, his brother thought different, you know, which is he's like the pure Viking through all of this.
He is.
He made his decision. I'll see you again in Valhalla. And he drew blood. You know, it's unfortunate because in both situations, I think the wrong brother died.
Yeah.
I've seen Pitzer go. But, you know, so a brother had to die in this episode. It's just there's too many of them running around on the battlefield. It's just a shame that, like you said, the star of the season had to go. But, you know, we'll always remember him. He's up there with Thorstein now.
Yeah. Yep. You know, I was thinking about Thorstein, how similar, because they weren't major characters, but yet we grew to love them. And it's almost like this amazing balance that you can, as a writer, mm-hmm. that you can achieve with characters like that you can't really achieve with main characters. And I don't know, there's something different about it. It's like it's not too much.
I know what you're saying. I can't articulate, but I know exactly what you're saying. It's you
it's
can
like
do
that. It's like a perfect story arc somehow.
Yeah.
Well, because if too much focus starts to show the cracks. Yeah. So if you leave this person secondary, you can have a lot more story or a lot more character development without as many scrutinizing questions about like, well, why would their motivation be to do this and to do that? Because we're not even thinking of the Halfdan of previous seasons. We're just thinking of the Halfdan now.
Right.
Because that guy used to be somebody we didn't like at all. Well, rest in peace, Halfdan. There's a lot of those tonight.
I have a hashtag no ship. Christian Callahan says, damn, Harold bitch ass didn't even hesitate to kill his brother. Sheesh. Hashtag Vikings season 5. Hashtag no ship. Yep. Pretty much what we said.
Yeah.
Now we are on to regret. And Margaret, Margaret wades into the water into Kattegat and picks up a body, which turns out to just be driftwood. This one is dead. Soon they will all be dead, she says. And she lays the driftwood down in front of Torvi's kids.
Yeah, toddlers.
Yeah. You're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is the worst babysitter ever.
Yeah.
I mean, she's up there with Oslog, really. And so there's...
Oh, and that little toddler's like, if you look at the bottom right, left-hand corner, you look at that toddler's mouthing something. And it looks like it's saying, the fuck, bitch?
Yeah, right. What the fuck? And if you look around, all the villagers that are around her are staring at her like, what's this bitch doing? It was hilarious.
So she has a vision of a dead Torvi on the battleground, which doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, she either has a bit of the sight or she thinks she has a bit of the sight or she is literally just mad. I mean, she is mad. We get that by the end of the episode. But if there is like serious mental issues going on in her head, she's either seeing things that she wants to happen or some things that she thinks are going to happen. And in the water, when she's talking about they're all dead, or soon they will all be dead, there's a face of a woman who is half submerged and it looks suspiciously like Oslog. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but it looks a lot like her.
You know, I had a thought about Oslog as I was watching the scene. Imagine if that was Oslog instead of her. Wouldn't it make a lot more sense?
Margaret?
Yeah, if Oslog was out there. I'm wondering if Alyssa Sutherland left the show and like maybe this was Oslog's intended storyline.
It's possible.
Like if her vulva power started to get twisted somehow.
And it started affecting her.
Yeah.
Like, and she was making...
Because she was all wanting to be queen. Remember, she went out and talked to the seer about being queen, too. And now Margaret's... I mean, just anybody get to see the seer? Why is she... Does she get to see the seer?
Yeah, I don't know. She's married
to Ubin. I bet anybody could see him, right?
He gets so
pissed
off.
Why not.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be bothered at this point. Looks like he's dying. And
that's why he started the whole hand-licking thing. That probably cut out, like, a third of the village.
Nobody it was does you know
it, it was his no, best idea ever. Be like, hey, you hear what you have to do if you go see the seer nowadays? No, what? Gotta lick his hand. Oh, fuck that.
Fuck.
Yeah,
that.
I'll just live my life and figure it out as it happens. This isn't worth it.
Yeah, I mean, and technically, she is in the court of royals. You know, that's living in the main building. So even if it wasn't everybody, she would have the opportunity. She's the queen of wishful thinking.
Are there any hashtags for this one?
We have two hashtag no ships about regret. Christian Callahan says, laugh my ass off. Even the seer can't stand Margaret. Hashtag no ship. Jasmine Nightbloom says, from a well, actually, this is later.
So yeah.
Never mind. We'll get to that one.
Okay. Yeah, because that's a separate Margaret scene. But
yeah.
So up next, we have Harold. And this is actually more Astrid and Harold together. And Harold asks Astrid to cut his hair in a pre-battle scene. because if you look at all the scenes in the battle, he's got his little man bun going on.
Yeah,
you
know, when he kills Half Dan.
Right. When he kills Half Dan, he's got the little hipster do hanging out. So this is, we're supposed to understand that this happened before the war drums started and everybody was going to war. So his hair was to be cut only when he married the woman of his dreams. And guess what? That's her. She seems, it was kind of weird dialogue when you think about it, because she's like, but you said you'd only cut it when, and he's like, yeah, when I married the woman of my dreams, and that's you. And it's like, well, duh. But Astrid is distant and sad, but will not share her concerns with Harold. So short scene, and it's basically just a haircut, but it lets us also see Astrid's like super cool face paint. I like that.
And she's still, ruminating.
The second time around, this scene kind of made me even more sad than when she was killed initially. Because, you know, it's like all the signs are there for him, but he's so lost in his dream world of perfect marriage. It's like, dude, you forced her to marry you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you courted her, you know, and it really was. It was a sad moment because, you know, she doesn't give any emotion like anybody else would be like, oh, thank you, you know, and cut it. She just kind of like hands it back to him. He's like, no, put it by your heart. It's like, oh, man. This is terrible.
Braided into your own hair. No, I really don't want to. There's not enough time for that before I die. What? Nothing? Nothing? The next scene, I kind of had to do a trilogy with Torvi, Lagertha, and Astrid all together. And it starts off with you see Super Priest Haman, Lagertha, Torvi, and Guthrum are all holding their own on the battlefield, with Lagertha even employing a severed head as a weapon to knock out a couple of people, which is completely badass.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That made me happy.
But when Guthrum faces off against Fitzurk, he is killed. Torvi pushes Fitzurk away pretty easily and turns back around to see if Guthrum is still living. And I don't think he is, even though Bjorn talks to him later, like, hey, you're going to be in Valhalla soon. It's like, he's probably already there. Torvi yells with rage and plunges back into the fray. Rest in peace, Guthrum. Another main character dying out, or somewhat main character dying out. So,
and the actress that plays Torvi did a really good job with like her fighting skills. I was impressed by, she was really fluid with all the movements and just did a really good job. I mean, she's always impressed me with her acting skills, and now even in her fighting skills. I mean, she's really all around just a badass.
I wonder how much of that was actually her and how much was a stunt double, because I think a lot of them do their own stunts on the show. Because it did look like her, and it didn't look like there was enough separation for there to be like a stunt person in there. Because the only reason I asked that is because there's a scene at the end where she's wanting to see her kids, and she pulls out her sword, and it kind of looks almost awkward the way she stands there. Yeah. So it was, well, how much training did she do, or how many?
Well, that could have been close quarters too, though.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Walls and everything else, and she's. You know, maybe she was worried about her kids a little more and kind of like shaky, like,
yeah,
about the,
there's other what? Variables in there. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But Torby's played by Georgia Hurst, by the way.
Yes.
Michael Hurst's daughter. Yeah, that scene made me cry every single time I watched it.
When Guthrum dies?
Yes.
It is sad because, I mean, I don't really feel like we had a whole lot of meat on the bone to get attached to Guthrum, but you understand who he is and you understand her feelings for him. And he has been around for a little while. So, and he's one of the quote unquote good guys. So it sucks.
And the way it was edited, because he was already down on the ground, but it's like she's seeing him upright and his hand is going toward her face, but they keep editing it to where his body's laying on the ground. It's almost like the centerpiece because that's representative of the editing throughout the entire episode.
Hmm.
All right, so Lagertha sees her child self and has a memory vision of her father giving her the Thor pendant, saying that Thor will always take care of you. And then she's alone, standing in a field. And this is common with everybody so far that's had a stronger vision. They end up on this battlefield alone, and then it changes to something else, and then you go back to reality. And so she's alone on the field, and Astrid approaches looking for a swift death. But Lags doesn't want to kill her. He tells her, like, look, I know you still love me. I know you didn't betray me. You helped me. She knows that it was her who got the message, obviously, because she was told. But she's letting her know that she knows. And Astrid insists and says that she cannot have this child. And Lagertha looks so sad when she says, child? Like, and I don't, at first I thought maybe she felt betrayed. But then I was like, no, I don't think it's that. I think she thinks this is somebody she cares about. And she's like, I want to be this kid's aunt. You know, Auntie Lagertha, mm-hmm. I want to see this kid grow up. This is, you know, Astrid with a baby. This is awesome. And then, but it's not to be, you know, Lagertha looks around and starts to survey all the carnage that's around her. And then Astrid uses that moment of distraction to rush in, and Lagertha just acts by instinct and thrusts her sword right through her. And so.
Yeah, I mean, I thought like her looking around to see all that carnage was kind of a way to support Astrid in a way, not wanting to have this kid, but for a different reason in Lagertha's mind. It's like, you're going to bring your kid up in this?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And she just saw Torvi lose her son.
Yeah, that's
right before that.
That's a good point. That probably makes more sense. Like, that probably gave her the steel in her spine to be able to do it then.
Well, plus she was in captivity, essentially, and I think she knew that she didn't willingly have sex with these people.
Yeah.
So also knowing what she probably went through, not knowing about what happened on the docks, but just being taken the way she was, you know,
right.
She didn't want to go through with a baby that, you know, mm-hmm. she didn't help create, kind of.
Yeah, I guess those points make more sense than what I was saying. Yeah, we'll go with that. We'll go with what you guys said.
No, I mean, I think all three work really well together. I mean, I really do. I think it's all combined within the scene. It's interesting that we all saw it differently, but each one definitely works.
Now, here's the question I have for you guys before we move on and get the hashtags for this scene. Where does this leave the whole dockside gang rape thing? Was this just... Why did we have that? Why couldn't this just have been Harold's child if she's just going to die anyway?
That was my question to you right after we watched that episode.
Right.
Because I wondered, did they have that scene just so it would make it more justifiable for her to want to have the child killed? Like, if they were wondering if it wasn't enough to have it just be Harold's child for us, the viewer?
Okay.
For her
all
to
right.
want to
now
die.
I understand what you meant. I didn't understand completely when you had asked me that at the time. It didn't sink in my head. All right. Yeah. Okay. So as a viewer, you're thinking this baby is the it's a Freddy Krueger, you know, it's the product of a bunch of people and a rape. So it's not like something that you want to have and bring into the world, so that it gives us the green light to feel all right about what happens, even though we're still sad.
I don't think it was necessary. I almost think you're underestimating the viewer, or maybe catering to a certain demographic that doesn't need to be catered to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that can mm-hmm. be seen too. Yeah.
Harold kidnapped her. I mean, what more do we need to know?
I would have been fine with the scene if it was just Harold's baby. You know, that's how she feels about it. That's how, you know, she needs to react. So it wouldn't have been any different to me, but you're right. You are kind of like, as a writer, if that is in fact what you're doing, you're kind of pandering to a lowest common denominator of, you know, people who you feel might object otherwise. Because I think this is the first time we've seen somebody who's pregnant killed, and especially in such a fashion.
And maybe I should be more charitable about it, because this whole season had a lot to do with fate. And she definitely had, you know, a lot of backhands from fate, I guess is the best way to put it. So, I mean, getting gang raped and kidnapped, and I mean, you just kind of start to feel like you have no control over your life. And I don't blame her for wanting to die.
Yeah, this was the last thing she felt like she could control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I mean, that never, you know, human beings have needs and desires and things like that. You know, they have that, the hierarchy of them. I forgot what it's called. It's a psychological thing, but you know, shelter, food, sex, love, blah, blah, blah. But agency and just to be able to control some modicum of your own life has to be pretty high up there too. And if that gets taken away from you, I mean, that'll drive you insane, I would imagine. Do we have any hashtags on this one?
Yes, we have, from James, we have a hashtag about Torvi, and he says, Vitsdag kills Guthrum. At History Vikings, my faith in Hearst wanes. Hashtag no ship. So he wasn't happy about...
They call him Fitzdog?
Fitzdog. And we have Mike. This would be Metal Mike. He says, Lags the heel using a severed head in battle as a weapon is the only thing she has done that I like so far this half season. Hashtag no ship.
Damn. Ooh.
The only thing, really?
Don't hold back, Mike. Tell us how you feel.
And Simona says, Lagertha, love your mascara. Where's the nearest mall in Kattegat? I want to buy it, too. Hashtag no ship.
That ain't mascara. That's just charcoal from the fire. And she just rubbed it right across her whole face. Just, all right. So rest in peace, Astrid. And we move on now to Iceland, and I'm going to handle this one all at once because some of the later scenes in this are kind of interspersed throughout the rest of the episode. But I feel like it's, even though what Floki says at the very end of this group of scenes has a lot of importance, the rest of it, maybe not so much. It's a little bit on the predictable side. But so in Iceland, at the funeral for Bull, Floki tries to reason with Eivind, pleading with him to not take revenge. And it flashes to the battle that's going on at that time and says, this is what we're trying to escape. So he's trying to let him know that, like, look, this is what we came here to not do, is exactly what you're trying to do. He even goes so far as to make him lawgiver if he promises not to start the cycle of violence over again. Eivind doesn't say yes or no, but, you know, Floki's appealing to that sense that he has that this guy wants to be in some sort of position of power. So here it is. I'll give it to you if you make sure you don't go and kill Thorgrim. Of course, what does he do? Eyjud shows Floki the body of Thorgrim, who has apparently been drowned in a pool or killed somewhere else and put in the pool, one of the two. And so Floki calls everybody together and he says, look, I know what's going to happen from here on out. I know exactly how this is going to go. And I think what he's thinking is that everybody's just going to start to go into factions and kill each other.
Yeah.
So he's going to take...
Give me the sharks and the jets.
The sharks. The greasers and the socias. He's accepting responsibility as the builder, and Floki offers himself as a sacrifice to stop the killing. And everybody kind of gasps.
Good. I'm getting sick of Floki. I know it's wrong, but it's like enough already. Either, I mean, I was hoping he was just going to leave anyway, because I figured he does in history. But it's like after Duncan actually brought up what he had done with Athelstan in England or in Paris. I mean, it was like, okay, you know, it brings all that up. And now, you know, all I can think of while all this is going on is Ragnar chuckling in Valhalla. Like, yeah, see, it sucks, doesn't it? When you want people to do what you want and then they go and fuck shit up. So it's like, if he goes through with it, good for Floki to sticking to his convictions and using himself as kind of like a martyr and an example of, you guys, we can be better than this. So when he says it, I was shocked. But kind of happy at the same time. Like, okay, look, you know, he's really trying to make, you know, the point stick by putting himself up there. But then where does that leave his people? So it'll be interesting to see how all that pans.
Everything you said hits the mark, and I agree with it. But when you say, where does it leave his people, it makes me think, well, it leaves them in a position to where they're probably going to have to kill Eivind at some point, because unless he is convinced, because all of the problems come from him and his family, nobody else is causing any kind of shit.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's the cancer that needs to be excised out of the whole thing. And Floki didn't want to be the old Floki and just kill him and get it over with, you know, pull the Band-Aid off and be done with it. He wanted to find another route to do it. So now he's going to kill himself, but it could almost turn out to be a senseless death, in my opinion, because if Eivind's character hasn't changed because of that event, then he's still going to be that guy. And if the whole lawgiver thing sticks, he's going to have his own little, you know, kingdom to rule over and be as much of a dickhead as he wants to.
Yeah. Unless it's like a bait, you know, like, okay, I'm going to give him exactly what he wants and take myself out. So maybe he's saying it just to kind of inspire everybody else to go, no, we can't take, let Floki kill himself. Put him on there.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Hopefully he's letting them make the decision, but by putting himself up, maybe he'll inspire everybody else to
so
do it for him.
We could, like, the next time we see Iceland in 5B, it could be a thing like Kettle Flatnose is kind of like, yes, you're right. We need a sacrifice to make this work, but it is not Floki the Builder. It is Eivind. And then they grab him and put him on the pyre, and there you go. Or slit his throat, however it would work.
Yeah.
Oh, I see Floki following through with this.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much probably where it's going to go, but...
But it is hard to imagine a peaceful aftermath.
Maybe it could be like, you know, the person who decides that they're going to stop smoking on Monday smokes a half a carton on Saturday and Sunday. So what Floki does is he takes out Eivind the day before that he's supposed to get his, you know, himself sacrificed, and go, well, just one more thing I'm responsible for, but I'm getting sacrificed anyway. So what the hell, you know?
Oops.
Oopsie. All right.
Now, did you guys notice whenever they found the body that there was a cave up in the hill? where people were walking. Yeah, yeah, right when they show them walking up and they haven't seen the body yet. If you look out, there's a cave, which would make sense why they went ahead and built the temple, because it looked like they maybe made themselves little cave dwellings up on the hills.
Oh.
I could be wrong. Yeah. I saw it both times, and I never actually saw anybody go in and out of it, but it looked like a cave.
Yeah, I missed that, because I guess I was just focused, like looking at the, you know.
Yeah, the cool.
Huh. That would make sense, because you would need somewhere to stay, you know.
Now, right.
Let me ask you guys this. Would it have been a better Floki storyline? Because I loved when he got to Iceland and those couple of episodes at the beginning of the season where he was just wandering around and looking at everything, and there's these sweeping like landscape scenes and cool music, and he thinks he's like seeing the gods and whatever have you. If that could have just went on and we could have had 5 minutes of that, of Floki alone on Iceland every episode, what would have really been different? The only way that it affected the other plot is that we saw a little bit of a nastier side of Lagertha that we didn't want to see, and that we know that Kattegat is minus 3 or 4 good warriors, or maybe, I don't know, maybe 20. Just throwing
That's a good
it out
point.
There. Just throwing it out.
That's
there.
A good point. I mean, it really wouldn't have made any difference. It would have been
And it would
a
have
nice...
been more enjoyable.
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say. It really would have been.
Do we have any hashtags on the Floki scene?
We have a hashtag from Christian Callahan, and he says, instead of trying to appeal to Aven in a sensible manner, Floki should have reminded him of all the raids he's been on and never saw Aven, and then ask Aven if he truly wants these hands. Hashtag Vikings, hashtag no ship. I immediately thought of the Rockbiter. He says, talks about the hands for some reason.
From Neverending Story.
Triggered that.
These hands. All right. So next up will be Ivar. And he says, I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget why I'm going into battle this day. And he's talking about his revenge. This is everything, every life that's going to be lost, every person maimed, every family destroyed is going to be for his petty little revenge that he has to get on Lagertha. Who got revenge on him when he killed that kid in Kattegat? You know what I mean? Like, who is the army that was behind the mom and dad of that kid?
Spoiled brat.
You know?
Or his brother, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Who, you know, no one cares about Sigurd, do they? I mean, we always have to keep getting reminded about it because we can just forget. But it's a really good point. Like, he killed his own brother. This guy is just... Why? What moral high ground do you have to stand on? Mm-hmm. This is where this scene really started a downhill spiral. One of the only things that I don't like about this episode is that is Ivar. I just don't like him anymore. I feel like he's shown himself to be a rotten character. And
Well, we have to remember Ivar was raised by his mom, who was screwed up, and he's the only one that she paid attention to. So, of course, when she dies, and it's what she wanted, I think when she lets Lags kill her the way she did, knowing Ivar is the way he is, was hoping something like this was going to turn out. You know what I mean? So, I can forgive it somewhat because of upbringing with Ivar. You know, because he's shown that he has these other sides to him also. I agree, this episode, like when he's sitting on the rock laughing about Lagertha running, was another one of those moments. I think his only shining moment for me was when he was giving the war chant right before they left. Other than that, I totally agree with you.
He does give a good speech. He after a rousing speech to his troops, they all go out to the fight. Mm-hmm. And the scene, though, was really cool because Ivar is almost like the Eye of Sauron at this point. You know, he's just sitting there and he sees everything. He says he sees Lagertha over Astrid's body. You know, he sees Bishop Haman saying, "What's up?" with a flick of his head. He sees Bjorn fighting, and they kind of make eye contact with each other. And then, inexplicably, he sees Lagertha fighting the Army of Darkness.
Right, all the skeletons?
Yeah, all of the skeletons. And yeah, I was waiting for like Bruce Campbell to come out with his boomstick and chainsaw and be like, "All right, listen up, you primitive screwhead," and just take over. But seriously, it was an interesting way, I think, for Hurst to show us that he, as in Ivar, is so narrowly focused on Lagertha that everybody else on the battlefield is just a corpse fighting. Yeah. And the only person that he saw was her. And he just wants to kill her so bad.
Then when he began to yell, it was inaudible, but I think he was saying, "Die."
Ooh, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what I
No, I could definitely see that.
Oh, yeah.
So we see a rain of arrows coming Ivar's way as he screams in defiance. Hashtags.
Yes, we have Jasmine Nightbloom. She says, that epic moment when Ivar throws his crutch and hypes up his warriors like a bloodthirsty Tiny Tim from hell. We're all excited. She says, she's got more. She says, now waddle your crazy ass down there and kill Lagartha so we can get back to England. Hashtag no ship, hashtag Vikings.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
She just put him in his place. Tiny Tim from hell. I like that.
All right. So up next, we have Bjorn. Bjorn tears it up on the battlefield, as would be expected. He tells Guthrum when he sees him that he will soon be in Valhalla with the great Jarl Borg, which I thought was awesome. You know, he comes over and says, you're going to be up in Valhalla with your real father. And he gives props to an old enemy of theirs back when their enemies had a little bit more complexity to them. Whereas Ivar is starting to feel one-dimensional and almost comic booky to me because of this episode. It's nice to harken back to some of their older enemies that, you know, had a human side to them too, that you could kind of see and feel bad for them. Or if you couldn't necessarily come around to their point of view because you were, you know, sympathetic with the Vikings or the main group of Vikings, you could at least kind of go, ah, they're not so bad. They, you know, on any other day, I might be on their side of the fence. Who knows? So I thought that was a nice touch.
Well, Jarl Borg's Blood Eagle elevated him in everybody's respect, too.
Yeah, the way he handled it.
Yeah.
And he just
took it on the chin.
Yeah, that look between him and Ragnar when that was happening, it was just like, man, that's some fortitude right there to just be like, yeah, do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, because the only way you can go to Valhalla when you're blood eagled is by not making any noise, right?
Yeah. You can't cry out.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's a good point, too. Yeah, goddamn, if you're going to blood eagle somebody, you know, they better get to Valhalla. I'd have somebody put duct tape over my mouth. Just be like,
yeah, I wouldn't make it. I'd be a mess. I'd be a mess on the way up there.
So Ivar calls for the archers to loose the arrows and rain death on them, to kill them. And this is a completion of the scene where we had just seen where the arrows are coming down on Ivar. And he yells out, and this pissed me off because he's standing there like he's going to have some sort of supernatural power to be able to deflect these arrows. And all of his little syncopants right next to him just put their shields in front of him while other people are dying by these same arrows.
Yeah.
That to me was
some of the guys that are holding the shields up to protect him go down. Yep.
Yeah, ultimate bitch move right there. Ultimate.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that sealed the deal for me. If there is a way to turn this character around, I mean, Hearst is going to have to do some plotline acrobatics to make me like Ivar again. I just don't see it happening.
It shows the amount of loyalty they have for him, that he didn't have to call for it. He didn't have to do anything. He sat there and screamed and knew that these guys were going to come up and risk their lives to make sure he didn't get hit. It's insane.
So Ivar signals for the Frankish troops to advance. Bjorn realizes what's happening, and he's just, you see it on his face. He's like, oh, fuck. So he calls for the retreat, and it's basically a rout. All of these troops have to turn tail and head back to Kattegat as fast as they can. And this is now we have the scene where Paul was talking about, where Ivar sits on a little hill with his crutches, and he's like, come out and fight me, Lagartha. Don't be a coward. Who's the coward here, dude? Who's the coward here? You just let other people die.
Yeah, and he's spotless. He's spotless. He has no blood on him, no mud. I wanted a bird to fly by while he was doing this and just poo on him. You know, just it would have been funny, but kind of poetic. Like, ah, damn it. You know, I got poo on me.
like right on his face, and he's just all.
His face or even his armor, because he was just spotless clean, just sitting there.
Yeah, just anywhere.
Like a hobbit on a stone, you know, like, dork.
And, you know, he knows that other people are going to have to kill Lagartha or hold her down while he does it. Because if she's left to her own devices, there's no way. She's like a world-class shield maiden. She's the baddest of the bad. He's a cripple, you know? Like, unless he can get in a lucky shot throwing a knife at her, that's his only chance. She'll step on his head. All right, so now we get close to the end.
Let me just say, I was still thinking that the Franks were going to stop.
I did too.
Even though they were running full force.
I did too.
I was like, it's going to happen. They're going to stop.
Until I saw
they're going to put their heels in the dirt and there's going to be skid marks, you know? None of that happened.
Or one of them would run by Ivar and accidentally bump into him, knock him over or something.
Punch him in the head, air quotes, accidentally.
Oops.
I'm with you, Em. I thought that was going to happen too until the first Frankish soldier really hit into somebody else. And then I was like, oh, crap. Once there's violence between the two sides, then you know it's for real.
Oh, yeah.
So now Rolo's, you know, intentions become even more unfathomable because the only saving grace would have been the switcheroo, but he didn't do it. So who knows? So on the retreat, do we have any hashtags about the Bjorn stuff?
Nope.
Okay. So on the retreat, the march back to Kattegat, Bjorn sees Snæfrid where she fell, and he comes over and kind of gives her a little, oh, that sucks, but I'm sure there's going to be more princesses. Kiss goodbye. And in Kattegat, we get a cheap shot scene of Regret and Torvi. I didn't like this scene at all because it only works the first time you watch it. After you watch it again and you know what's going to happen, you don't gain anything from it. It's an empty scene. It's empty calories. And I felt like they were playing off of the audience's sympathies. Earlier in the episode, she had said to the seer, you know, I have Torvi's kids in my control, you know. And
I did like the way Regret had her fingers kind of twitching.
You did?
Weird. Yeah, I like that. I like that. It was kind of like creepy. It worked the first time around. You know, it was like, okay, you know, something's up. I was hoping, now this sounds fucked up, that the kids were going to be dead so they would, she would cut that girl down. The only reason. I don't want these kids to die other than that. But if that would inspire her to do it. Personally, once I saw my kids were safe, I probably would have cut her down anyway just for making me fucking ask 4 or 5 times and make me think that you killed my kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really. Yeah, just be like, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of payment for that because you just made a mother think that her kids are dead and you did it.
Not just a mother, one that's just been in a fucking serious battle.
Yeah.
She could have killed him and just been like, well, Regret was fucking with me.
Now,
sorry.
I just realized that I forgot to talk about the after the Ivar scene, that's when Margaret goes to see the seer. So I can just talk about it real quick. And say, we're already thinking that she's mad because when she went to see the seer, he basically said that she is mad. And he's like, oh, you think that? And he's like, I don't think anything. I know. And this is the same scene. I didn't talk about it too much, but we kind of touched upon it earlier where she goes in and she learns that Ube will not be king of Kattegat, but he will eventually be king of
somewhere.
Right.
Who knows what or how. But
Iceland.
Iceland, yeah. He goes to visit Uncle Floki and stays for a while. But one of the things that the seer says in the scene that is, I think, pretty cool is he goes, this is what I was talking about. He doesn't say that, but he goes, when, you know, Ragnar died and he told Lagertha that the events of Ragnar's death have not played out yet. This is exactly what he's talking about. And even the gods are weeping, watching what's going on right now.
I know you liked her twitchy fingers. I didn't. It just seemed like it was too on the nose. And all of a sudden, she's crazy just because the seer said she was crazy. Like, he flipped that switch. And I thought her portrayal of crazy was cliche.
Well, with everything that's been playing through since everybody's left, they've been amping it up to get to this point. If you think about, like, her constantly walking around, and I don't know if they were visions, but just her imagining her, you know, her husband with another woman and then seeing people dead. I think it was just her amping it up and to the point to where she finally loses it. Now they went totally over the top with it. But
yeah, I guess
I'm easily frightened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the progression. I can buy the progression. Yeah. And now she's just kind of like,
now she's owning it.
Even the hair is you know, in that look to her. And then she walks away like she's going to scuttle back to some under the floorboards room she's living in.
Yeah, like she's a villain in Beastmaster. You know, it was very 80s kind of like, I'm going through the back door type move. Which, like I said, would have been nice if Torvia just struck her down right there. But we didn't get it.
Well, Jasmine Nightbloom says, from a psychological standpoint, I'm curious to know what exactly triggered Margaret's psychotic break. Was it Ivar threatening her life? Ube threatening her life after mom died? Lagertha threatening? Okay, someone just put her out of everyone's misery.
Yes.
Hashtag no ship, hashtag Vikings.
Well put.
If she has a big part in 5B, it's going to be disappointing, honestly. And I would just like to say that we've been doing... Us and the listeners alike have been doing a large amount of Margaret bashing this whole season, and she completely deserves it. But props to the actress Ida Nielsen,
yes,
who plays her, because we would not hate her if she did not do an excellent job of making us hate her.
And it's hard to go on a show and play something like that and get on probably social media and, right. and read about the hatred.
Uh-huh, I would imagine.
Because I know Alyssa Sutherland had to deal with that with Auslaug.
People can't, you know, and then some people can't understand the line that's drawn between the character and the person who plays them.
Yeah.
As evidenced by our interview a couple of years back with Amy Bailey when she talked about her portrayal of Princess Quentrith, who was, you know, just having sex with everything that moved in the episode. And she said that people in real life were trying to invite her to orgies because they thought perhaps that this person who played a character on a TV show would think that that'd be a cool thing to go do. I don't know. So nobody hate Ida Nielsen. Give her respect for doing an awesome, awesome job making this character so hated by all of us Vikings fans.
What if they flip it and make us love her next half season?
You know, they did it with Halfdan, but Ivar and Margaret, that's a really, really hard sell to me to try. This, just even the fact that it could be done is in question. Yeah. You know?
If he does it, the guy, he should get a, like a Pulitzer, right?
Yeah.
For writing.
No, he needs to get the... oh, yeah, that's what it was, the Pulitzer Peace Prize, yeah. Uh-huh. Like the shit that, like, world leaders and presidents get. All right. As the rest of the Vikings file into Kattegat, we get a short scene of Bjorn talking with Ube about, okay, we need to kind of pack up and get the hell out of here because Ivar is coming and he's going to enjoy his victory and nobody wants to be around for that. So let's get out of Dodge. And Bjorn sees his mother in the corner with white hair. And
I thought I was watching Twin Peaks. All of a sudden, the Leland Palmer white hair. It was like, what the hell? I didn't even recognize her.
Oh, my God. So
her hair is white, but her face looks young, younger than we've seen lately.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how they managed to pull that off because it seems to pull in different directions. Like they did make her face look younger. Maybe it's just that lost look that she has. I don't know. But my question isn't so much how did her hair turn white, because we can just guess it from the stress of losing Astrid and everything on the battlefield and seeing Guthrum die and all of this and knowing that they lost. The bigger question is, how did she get all those braids out while they were in retreat?
I don't know.
That
handmaids.
Yeah, they were just following her as they're as they're walking. Hold still, hold still.
It's disappointing to see her this way. You know, in my mind, you know, Lagertha is very strong and would be able to recover. But, you know, maybe she's hit her breaking point. It was a bit much with the white hair and her being huddled in the corner. You know, I think it was very drastic to go that route. And now makes me wonder what's going to happen the next half of the season.
Well, we're meant to think it has to do with Astrid because there's a flashback memory of her killing Astrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's killed lovers in the past before.
This one didn't betray her. I mean, I don't, yeah. I'm not, I know it's, I'm not saying it's strong sauce. I'm just telling you, that's what the show's telling us.
It's just sauce. It's not weak sauce. It's not strong sauce. It's just sauce.
It's just the sauce just they sauce. Gave us. Okay.
The sauce they gave us. So the ending that everybody kind of was waiting for is we see some of the Frankish ships in the Bay of Kattegat rolling up and Rollo. Who does, as the males in the show tend to do, has been made to look age appropriate. He looks a lot older than we saw him last time. You see it around his eyes, especially on your dad's TV, where you can see all of that detail in a big ass TV. And he looks older. So once again, it's a what moment, because we all figured that he was entangled. We talked about it last podcast.
Yeah,
we figured that he was legally and work-wise entangled up with another show and we wouldn't see him again. They would just drop his name and then they'd have his troops. Suckers. So good on Hearst for being able to surprise us and pull it out like that.
And it makes sense why he sent troops, because that day when Ragnar called him a bitch, he was like, I'm going to get you one day for this, man. I'm going to wait a while. Don't ever call me a bitch again. It was shocking. It was shocking. Even in my notes, it's like, Rollo, what? So it was crazy. And then I was lucky enough to watch it at a friend's house, and they actually had the coming up next time for the upcoming season, and it looks amazing.
So do we want to talk about this real quick?
I've got a hashtag no shit before we do that.
All right.
From Simona. And Simona says, Grand Rolo is back. Thank you, Mr. Hurst. Thank you. Hashtag no ship. Hashtag Vikings.
Don't be thankful yet. We don't know what's going to come of that.
All right. So that concludes our coverage of the episode. Let's go into feedback.
And after feedback, we're going to discuss the preview for the upcoming 5B season. So if you don't feel like that's spoilery, stick around and listen to that. If you do, you can just turn it off after we cover feedback.
All right. So first piece of feedback is from the Tan Viking. And his name's Brian, by the way. And he says, okay, my Heyman theory is this. You're telling me there were no chicks in England hotter than Lags. Paul, you want to take that one?
No.
Okay.
No.
There's your answer. No. There's your answer, Brian. No. But I digress. What I think is somehow he will get her back to England where he will kill her. Just wait. Give it a chance. Really? You think that's going to happen? Why would he do that?
No. No.
I don't know. I mean, I think he likes her just as much. I mean, I think he might want to go back to England for, like, you know, little couples vacations and stuff like that. Maybe they can go raid Linda's farm. I don't know.
He's going to give her the Ivar.
Yeah. Well, what happens when he goes back and sees her in the condition she's in? She might be a total mess for a while, and Heyman might not stick around. We don't know what kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
He's a bit wishy-washy.
Their relationship hasn't reached the level of through sickness and health. I don't think. So. All right. And he goes on to say, and one more. Rolo, my third fave, is definitely tricking Ivar, okay? He loves Lags almost as much as Paul does. So him and old Peach Fuzz Face came up with a plan to help Lags boot Ivar and Fitzurk, take Kattegat, but with old Uncle Rolo right there, he gets Kattegat and he has his puppet. And in all that, Lagertha escapes with Heyman and sexy bath time. Uh-huh. See, it all works out. LOL. And yeah, I looked up my surname and it pretty much said Scandinavian and of North African descent, a very, very tanned in skin. I'm pretty Caucasian, so me and my dad play like Bjorn is probably our grandpappy, LOL, or Halfdan. Nah, I'd take it. Keep it up, guys, and probably smoking lady. See ya. Skull.
Skull.
Bjorn for life. Skull. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, that was funny.
I think Heyman's going to give Lagertha to Ivar.
Oh, that better not happen.
No, I don't think so.
That'd be the ultimate dick move.
What's the deal about when somebody who has peach fuzz and they grow it out, why is it so irritating?
Because it's not thick. You know, it's like dirt almost.
Yeah, I know. I feel irritated when I see it, too. I'm just wondering, what is it that drives that feeling inside of us where we're just like, ugh, what are you doing?
It's something you're not supposed to be seeing, because when a person grows facial hair, they're supposed to grow it, you know, however they want to scape it up. It needs to be thick, like yours, like mine, you know. But when they just have peach fuzz, that's God telling you. Or that's Odin telling you, whoever you pray to, that's them telling you, keep shaving till it grows in thicker. All right? Just wait a while. Be patient.
And if it never does, trust us, don't grow it out.
Right, right. Because it just...
No one likes it.
Yeah, it looks ridiculous. I don't know what else to say. You know, some people can't do certain things with their body hair. I have male pattern baldness, so I keep my hair super, super short and, like, shaved. And... that's just what that's my curse. I have to live with that for the rest of my life. If I had peach fuzz instead of regular, you know, guy facial hair, I would just stay clean shaven. So next up we have Emily, and she says, beautiful singing from Halfdan and Harold. Was it really the actor singing? Sounded like it. Must have been tough to get those accents down. Surprise editing during opening battle scene. It caught me off guard, but I like it. Sometimes the old opening battle scene is boring. I'm sorry. Sometimes the same old battle scene is boring. Agreed. What the fuck, Ivar? Why are you pretending to slit Fitzurk's throat before battle? You are ruthless. Confronting your brother about his deepest insecurities right before battle. Are you trying to psych him out so he will be off his game and die?
Good point.
And his last thoughts would be of you and regret. What a mind Ivar has. She's actually talking about regret in the emotional range, not regret.
Not Margaret.
Yeah. Oh, Ube, and oh my, this brotherly face-off is heart-wrenching. So sad. Best acting from Fitzurk from the entire show during that 10 seconds. I was not surprised Ube didn't go through with it. He's the softy side of Ragnar.
Yeah.
No one cares about Bjorn's freaky wife. Go away. I wonder if she'll die in this episode.
You might have gotten your wish.
My thoughts while watching this freaky wife sneak in the forest, it was really interesting learning about the blowpipe history in last week's podcast. While you all listed genres of film it's been in, I was surprised that no one said Asian. The first thing I thought of when I saw the blowpipes in Vikings was the anime film Princess Mononoke.
Princess Mononoke.
Mononoke.
I totally didn't even think of that. That's a good pull.
Oh, so you know what she's talking about. Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Men hid under board hides and stuck their blowpipes out of the eye holes when they attacked the boar god.
It's a good anime. I recommend it if anybody hasn't seen it. It's pretty good. It's been a long time, but...
And it's called Princess Mononoke? Okay.
Yeah, Princess Mononoke. I think it came out early 2000s. I could be wrong. Somewhere in there.
She goes on to say, Half Dan's battle scene was surreal. His battle cry seemed weak and scared. And his eyes, it looks like he was scared. Was he scared of accidentally killing his brother Harold? Why are we having desert hallucinations? Wake up. This is interesting. He's fighting, but like mentally in the desert? At peace? Interesting. Can't really tell what's going on here. Obviously, it was a visually symbolic and artsy choice for his death scene. I guess it was foreshadowing.
I thought his eyes looked like he was high, like maybe he was berserking.
Mm-hmm. The berserker mushrooms.
Yeah.
I wonder if there are, quote, meat-filled desserts in Valhalla for Halfdan. Oh. Man, Harold.
He'd definitely be telling the story for sure.
Man, Harold kept his word. Harsh. Yes! Margaret is going to drown herself. Oh, never mind. She's having visions of all the dead people and is carrying them where? Inside? What is that? Driftwood? Wait a second. Was that Astrid's face? Who's dead? And someone else's face? I think I'm experiencing Stockholm Syndrome in Astrid's stead. I keep thinking she must feel awful seeing how happy she makes Harold. But then I remember he kidnapped her, and she has an unwanted pregnancy because she risked her life to help Lagertha. Okay, why are we seeing the kissing scene twice with Lagertha and Super Priest?
I know. I wondered the same.
Yeah.
Like, again, why?
And there was tongue.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
You guys noticed that.
Yeah.
Oh, I noticed.
I was like, my dad's she got into it. TV Oof. Screen.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
The older I get, the less I want to see, like, French kissing, even between characters that I like. I don't know what that is or what that's about.
Well, Lagertha and Ragnar, I would have handled it fine, or her and the English pimp. That would have been fine. I would have been fine with that.
I think Ragnar only I would have been fine with. That's it. That's it.
No hot tub French kissing?
Nope. Nope.
Kill him, Torvi. Oh my god, please save your son and kill that guy. Fuck. Is Guthrum dead? Oh my god. Fitzer, kill Guthrum. Kill him, Torvi. Go get him. Ah. Who is Lagertha seeing? Oh, it's herself. Oh, interesting. Aw, this scene is so sweet with her dad. Aw. But all this precious moment stuff makes me think she's going to die. Maybe not this episode, but soon. Maybe the beginning of next half season? No, not even close. All right. Ah, more death on Iceland. Forget that one kid was stabbed. Bunch of dummies. They have the best opportunity in the world and are screwing it up. Yes, exile the impure ones. Be gone. You tell him, Floki. Drop the truth bomb. I hope by this point everyone, except Ivar, obviously, can't expect change from him, is over pointless killing. You gotta get along to survive. Lagertha is fighting and you are not, Ivar? Coward. Ooh. Ha ha ha. Super Priest. Sup, nod. Was funny. Oh shit. Freaky skeleton vision. Ivar's silent hiss is so creepy. Sigh. I hate Ivar.
So maybe it was a hiss. Maybe he wasn't saying die. And he was just like open wide mouth hissing, just like... Haman kisses.
The French, the French. Shit, shit, the French. Guess hopeful predictions of the French betraying Ivar were too hopeful. Sad.
Oh, it could still happen.
Ivar is talking to himself. Psycho. Oh no, did that kid kill himself? What happened? Did the other dude seek revenge after Floki's merciful pep talk? I hate that guy. He's ruining everything. I want someone to kill him, but that's the whole conundrum. Man, who cleans up all the dead? That must take forever and be so disgusting and sad. You'd think cleaning up one battle would be enough to never fight again.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it was a hot spring. Did that guy cook in there?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe. That too. Like, how long?
Like, soft poach?
Close.
Right? That nasty. Couldn't you have thrown him somewhere else?
Despite how much of a dumb the character Bjorn is, wow. The actor does a great job. His grief, albeit a short scene, what was that, 5 seconds, was convincing. However, I have a hard time believing he loved her that deeply based on his history with women and marriage. I think he's more upset about the freaky sex he's going to miss. How will he ever find another lover like that in medieval Norway? Maybe it won't be that hard. What are you going to do, Floki? There's that Floki laugh. Yeah, I was happy to get the Floki giggle back.
Mm-hmm.
Is Floki going to sacrifice himself? Fuck. He is. Fuck. Maybe his selflessness will teach them all a lesson and he won't have to? Doubt it. Oh my God, Margaret. Ah, Torvi, kill her. Don't turn your back to her. Oh my God, Margaret ran away with her arms down at her sides like a freak. Oh, she's so crazy. Kudos to the actress. Thank you for pointing that out. We were doing that earlier. It's important
Except
to do.
Except me. I'm the only one that doesn't like her acting there.
No, well, she's saying kudos to the actress. Uh-huh. Well, I'm taking that to mean overall. So that's how I'm going to look at it. That's how I'm going to look. Emily goes on to say, is that Lagertha or Daenerys balled up in the corner with her white hair? Was the battle that traumatic or was that a flash forward? Is Lagertha broken? So confused.
It's Lagertha Palmer.
Lagertha Palmer. Holy shit, Rolo. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So Emily goes on to say, thanks for reading. I'm sorry it's so long, but I have 5 seasons of podcast listening to make up for it. Hope you enjoyed. You guys are great. Thank you for all your hard work, time, and talents. Looking forward to next season or whatever it's called. Smiley face, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you very much, Emily. And we will be looking forward to your feedback next season.
Up next, we have Benny Jessica, and her email title is, Damn, Rags, you should have just put it on. Are you talking about a prophylaxis? Is that what she's talking about? She's talking about a condom?
I don't know.
She could be, yeah, because then we wouldn't have Ivar.
Yeah.
Or any of them.
Or any of them outside of Bjorn.
I mean, he did force himself onto Auslaug, and that's
she
how
told
Ivar...
him. She told him, she was right. Like, if you have sex with me now, I have foreseen that there will be a problem with this kid. It's not a good thing to do. But he had just gotten off the boat, and he had to have it, so.
Benny Jessica says, OMG, did Lagertha finally age? So Vikings isn't that good of a show anymore. And it's not just because of Ragnar. It's the crazy braids, the makeup, the time traveling, the age trolling. I've watched the show for 5 seasons, and I know and feel for a very small number of characters. I need to see the characters in everyday situations and celebrations, not just politics and war. There was a lot of talk about strong female characters, but I don't see them. This is a show about brothers. The women are just pretty. There is so much that I don't understand. Are Haemond and Lagertha suddenly in love? Did Astrid really love Lags? Why was she with Bjorn, then? Why did Vitserk choose Ivar? Why did Rollo send his army to kill Bjorn and Lags? Why did the same people involve themselves in this war? The only thing that was clear to me this season was Halfdan. I understood him. He wanted to see the world, and he was loyal to Bjorn because Bjorn helped him live his dream. This show isn't great anymore. But with that said... this was a great episode. Lagertha finally aged. Hallelujah. And Rollo, never thought I would say this, but welcome back. So what will happen next? I think Rollo will take Kattegat and try to hook up with Lags. Harald should end up with Kattegat at some point, maybe with the help of power-hungry Margaret. Bjorn will be like, fuck Kattegat and travel the world. Ivar will go back to fight Alfred, but Alfred has a fleet now. Insert Jaws music. Ube and Vitserk will just be as lost as they are, as they always are. Floki will not sacrifice himself. He is just being a drama queen.
Mm-hmm.
This war, the Ragnarsson. Damn, Rags. You should have at least worn a condom when you cheated on Lags. Then none of this shit would have happened. Thank you for your great podcast. They are much better than the show now. And she signs it Jess.
Well.
Nice. That's wow. High praise. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you.
Shy allude.
I mean, I agree with a lot of your points, Benny Jessica. I'm not as down on the show overall because there were some really great episodes this season. I am bummed out that Astrid is gone already. I wanted to see more with her.
There's no, the show has never had a problem aging the men. And we mentioned this on the podcast, like Rollo looks like he's older, especially around the eyes. Even though he still has his nice mane of hair going down, and his coif, and he's keeping it cut at the proper length and everything to be a pompous medieval lord. But yeah, you know, it does feel like that. You have a really good point when you say it's not about strong women; it's about these brothers. And that's what this season has been about, because mm-hmm. the strong women in this show have been curiously lacking agency in this season. And I'm not sure if this is a trend that, or this is a coincidence, or they just kind of, the writing for them kind of got slacked off. But think of all the complaints that we had about Lagertha this season, and think about how many we had before this up until now. You know, up until now, the worst thing that she had done, in our opinion, was to kill Oslaug outright. But we were only really worried about that in regards to the repercussions, which are now the ravens are coming home to roost, as you could maybe say.
Well, that and that one guy she was seeing for a little while. That was me complaining, though.
Yeah, yeah, the GQ Viking.
Yeah.
Calf.
Calf, thank you.
Yeah, see, I blocked out his name.
It's a great... It's
decalfinated.
Decalfinated. It's a great point you bring up, though. You should have at least worn a condom when you cheated on Lags, and none of this would have ever happened. But yeah. I think Oslaug would have only allowed that for so long until she was just like, no, 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 we're going to have kids because I want to be able to sail into Kattegat at the prow of a ship with a big old belly and have you hide.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the funnier scenes. Anyway, thank you, Jess.
Yes, thank you.
And hopefully you'll still be watching the show so you can still communicate with us whenever it comes back out.
Thank you, Benny Jessica. Up next, we have Sophie Fatale.
What's up?
This is our first time hearing from her this season. And she says, hi, guys. It's been a while. I haven't been able to watch until the weekend due to boring reasons. And I didn't feel like sending in outdated feedback after the fact. Anyway, I've been watching and listening to the podcast. Still love listening to you guys, even though this hasn't been my favorite season of Vikings. Few things have intrigued me. Most things have annoyed me. Examples. Ivar is an interesting character portrayed by a talented actor. Annoying things. Sami sex, Margaret, Aven and his constant complaining, Aetha Wolf's death by bee, rapes, teleporting Franks, etc., etc. Despite all that, I have enjoyed the season, and I went into this finale expecting a lot, but the direction and the editing completely ruined the experience for me. Not sure what's even going on right now. I've never been a fan of is this happening or is it just a dream storytelling. I think it's a cheap trick to leave everything so uncertain at the end of a season. Cliffhangers is one thing. A whole season finale being dreamlike and super ambiguous is something else. I still look forward to next season, or the second half of this season, whatever. P.S. It seems Lagertha suddenly turned 70 overnight after losing this crown. This wasn't exactly what we meant, though. Also, am I right to think that Rollo is expecting the throne for himself? Maybe his wife back in Francia really didn't take him back after he went raiding like she threatened, and this was the purpose of him providing troops. I'm sorry for the long and probably incoherent email. I had a lot of missed feedback to make up for, and there's still so much left unsaid. I will do better next season, promise. No, you did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she signs off, until we raid again, Sophie Fatale.
See, that's a good way to kind of put everything in perspective and say, like, I didn't like this episode and here's why, but not really, you know, taking a crap on it or anything. Just kind of saying, hey, here's my reasons. And it's, I mean, when she says, Ivar is an interesting character portrayed by a talented actor. Annoying things. Sami sex. Margaret. Avond and his constant complaining, Aethelwulf's death by bee, rapes, teleporting Franks, etc., etc., etc. So you kind of encapsulate some of the, you know, the things that
it was
maybe
pretty
were,
much perfect.
Yeah, not so hot about this season.
And etc., etc., etc.
Etc., etc., etc. Yeah, that you know, pick your poison on that one. You know, did we already
now,
mention?
I don't think Rollo's coming back to be king. I think it's been a while since they went south and he's bored and he's coming back up for some other reason. I think he's just coming up either to gloat or to just stir the pot the way Bjorn said, you know, whenever my uncle's around, it's mayhem. So I don't think he doesn't need to have to deal with that.
It's because he's still a Viking.
I think he's just coming up. Yeah, he's just bored and coming up for some fun again.
It would be nice to get a part two of the, remember that badass Rollo and Bjorn fight? Way back when.
Oh, it'd be awesome where they're rolling around in the mud and rain.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like to get another one of those, but to the death.
Yeah, this one would be to the death.
Yeah.
But Rollo, or, you know, I mean, Bjorn would just have to look at him and be like, I'm going to wreck you, old man, just so you know.
Oh, he'd crush him. He'd crush him now. Soft.
All right, up next we have Dunkin' Donuts, and she says, happy mid-season break. I made it all the way through the day and realized there was one last thing I needed to do. I'm of two minds about moments of vision. On one hand, I thought this episode was masterfully put together, and I appreciated that the structure helped put us in the mindset of each featured character rather than doing all the backstory material up front and yet another battle with a foregone conclusion at the end. I also love that in these times of crisis, the gods insert themselves with visions, memories, and states of mind. This season featured the Thor and Loki mythology, directly and indirectly, and I kept feeling the pull to factor in those gods' personalities might have affected the outcomes, all the while little Odin ravens were keeping a close but more understated eye on things. Conjecture. How ironic would it be if crazy Maggie stays and hooks up with Ivar? She must be talking about Margaret.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the ends of some of these people just blew. I'm very much over the male minor characters getting a fairly full arc and the female characters being sexual cannon fodder. Snayford's nuzzling with Bjorn, sweet, but I was never given a reason to give a rat's ass about her. I suppose it would have killed Hurst to explain why Bjorn suddenly had to marry her. It occurred to me in the last 24 hours that Astrid never answered a direct question about her own motivations or feelings. Every time in the last three seasons that someone asked why she did XYZ, she literally had no lines. Lesbian characters that end up dying for being sexual are a trope, and she was nothing more than that.
Damn.
Halfdan, on the other hand, actually had 3 to 4 conversations about his feelings, motivations, and ambitions. That is why his death feels sad, beautiful, and satisfying. Then to have Lagertha twitching and white-haired over killing Astrid versus losing Kattegat. Garbage. Even Guthrum had a better arc than Astrid if you factor in his cut scenes. I was talking to Michael Guy and Elisa earlier today, and we strongly felt that Ivar has no ground that we can build a relationship or understanding with him. He's too unpredictable, he's unpleasant, and his motivations are unclear. He doesn't even want to rule. He's friggin' Trump trying to oust Hillary right now, and Hurst needs to do better with him, which I realize will make him less unpredictable and less mysterious, and therefore less fun to write. But tough shit. This show needs to even out, add some levity in, and stop being so in love with the bad guys that it forgets to serve as characters we already love. Roll up!
D-donuts. Oh, good. Good feedback. Thank you.
You bring up some really, really good points. Mm-hmm. The first one that I wanted to touch on was the sexual canon thing. And I had mentioned something about Torvi either last episode or the episode before that about how there's so many other characters that I really don't give a shit about, but I do give a shit about Torvi, and I want more of her backstory. Not necessarily backstory. We already got that. But I want more character development and an arc for her. I want to know what makes Torvi tick. Have some scenes where she's just not trying to convince Lagertha that she's loyal to her. Something more. Mm-hmm. A little bit of meat on the bones of her character. And I felt like we never got that. We did get that with Halfdan, who could be seen as kind of like an equivalent character on the scale of how important they are. And I don't know. I was glad to have it with Halfdan, just like Donuts is. But sad that we couldn't get the same thing with Torvi. Of course, Torvi's not dead, so there's still a chance to do that later on. And I agree with what was said about Astrid as well. But the main thing that I wanted to touch upon was when she says at the end, the show needs to even out, add some levity in, and stop being so in love with the bad guys that it forgets to service the characters we already love. If you think about the death toll from this episode, you have Guthrum, Halfdan, Astrid. I mean, these are all people that were on the quote-unquote good side of everything. And I don't want to break down the complexity of storytelling into a good guys versus bad guys comic book type tropey thing. It's not that. These are supposed to be complex characters who have their own motivations and everything else. But I kind of feel like we have broken them into camps in our minds because Hurst has written them that way, to where you have good guys and you have bad guys. And at this mm-hmm. point, he's kind of grinding away all of the good guys and not really giving us too much of a payoff to go along with that. So, you know, you could go by the story rules where it's like, yeah, you can kill some good guys and give them some Empire Strikes Back moments and stuff like that, but you have to come back around the other end and give us something to root for. Otherwise, you're setting up a bunch of characters that we get emotionally invested in, and then you pick them off one by one. And you can't even really hide behind, when you're criticized with that, you can't even really hide behind the historical accuracy angle of something like that, because you have to realize that that's also been cherry picked too. So it's not completely historically accurate to any degree. It's just these characters did exist and now we're going to play with them. So that's not really an excuse to kill off a bunch of people we like. But anyway, that was a long-winded way of saying that I really, really agreed with most of what Donuts was saying with this feedback.
Yeah, and I also like how you brought up Thor and Loki, because they are brothers. And so you have this conflict between brothers throughout. So I had noticed a Thor coming up more frequently than before, but I didn't even think about Loki. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice Loki as much.
And it's almost like he has just as much to do with the events that are, even though he's not invoked, he has just as much to do with the events that are going down in this season, because everything's just turning chaotic.
I think, I don't know, and we're going to talk about this here in a minute, but before we get into discussing the preview, just based on what Donuts was saying, it just seems like we're about to go into a very dark season. I think 5B is going to be just extremely dark.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should prepare for that.
All right. With that said, we thank you, Donuts, and we are about to go into a rare thing here on The Wild Hunt. We're going to do a spoiler section that you can turn off if you haven't watched the short teaser preview trailer for Season 5B. So go ahead and hit the stop button now or pause button, maybe go watch it and then come back. It's up to you, but we're about to say some stuff that you might not want to hear. All right, so if you're still listening, that means that you either saw it along with us or you don't mind being spoiled. So Paul, what did you see on that preview? Just so we have, maybe we saw different ones. I don't know. I doubt it. But
No, I'm sure we saw the same thing. I only got to see it once because I had my copy at the house.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see it. And from what I saw, it was just mayhem, you know,
yeah,
from
like
what
more...
they show with, yeah, with Ivar all painted up with a weird crown,
yeah,
calling out Lagatha. And it was just, it was a lot to take in. And I wish I had rewound it at my friend's house on his DVR and watched it again, but I didn't. And it was just, all I remember is sitting there like, what the fuck, you know, and just watching. And then that was it. It was like, holy fuck. What did I just see?
So basically you have Ivar dressed up not too dissimilar to how Eyjord was dressed up a few episodes mm-hmm. ago when they were doing the sacrifice of the goats for Thor. And he has a crown, I believe, on, think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got all that nasty white face paint. And
I immediately thought of Nero.
Ugh.
That's good.
Yeah, he could be like a Nero-like figure, just, you know, burning everything down in his path because he doesn't know how to truly lead. He's just a destructive force. He's not a leader to any extent at all, really.
Hopefully they get Lagatha out of Kattegat.
Hopefully.
And she just doesn't lay down, because I'd hate to see what Ivar would do to her.
So what's said, basically, is people of Kattegat, I offer you Lagatha as a sacrifice. Like, he's about to kill her ceremonially or some way. So, yeah, M is right. Season 5B is going to be dark, no matter how you slice it. And there's going to be a lot of bad shit that goes down that we're not really going to want to see. But, I mean, Lagatha would have to be somewhat broken at this point. She looks like she was sitting in the corner. Yeah, she would have to be kind of broken to be captured, I would think. Just, you know, with everybody that she has around her. But who knows who else gets captured, too. Like, everybody in their group. You know, maybe they never make it out of Kattegat. And it just spells doom for all of them. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that based on how I feel about it, and I think you guys are probably, if not on the exact same page, close to it, and how our, you know, listeners just gave us a bunch of feedback about, I'm saying that, you know, we already know that season 6 has already got the go ahead. They're probably in, you know, started some amount of production on it right now. But I think whether or not there's a season 7 based on ratings is going to largely be predicated on how the fan base handles season 5B. Because six is already a given no matter how bad it gets. But if they come back...
Well, I mean, they could pull it if they wanted to, if it was really bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has that happened? I mean, does that happen?
Yeah. What show was it recently? Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. I remember hearing about it recently that something had happened.
So it was a show that
pulled the show.
They had a season already in the can, and then the ratings got so bad that they just pulled that and said, we're not even going to release it.
They cut it short. Yeah. Well, not that they didn't release it, just that, let's say 5B is in the books and they haven't finished recording
six,
like 6B or all of 6. They can totally can and just cover their loss. You know what I mean? I don't think that would happen with the scope of Vikings, but it has happened in the past. I mean, I tell you, I recently saw something on it. It'll come to me in like an hour when we're not recording anymore.
That's it. But I just, I really like this show. I like it because I like the podcast on it. I like to watch it. I think it's a really overall been a phenomenal fucking show. One of the best I've ever seen. It's always going to be in my, you know, top 10 shows and favorites of all time, but it's going in weird directions, and it just I would never tell Hearst how to write a show or what to be careful of or anything, but it's something that people might want to be aware of, because like I said earlier, if you're not going to stick with the historical accuracy angle, then you have some leeway to not give fans – don't spoon-feed fans. This show's never done that or never seemed to me like it's wanted to be that, but don't starve them either. If you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I fear there's sometimes I see stuff like that and I'm like, wow, that better be enough of a spectacle for everybody to still want to come back for season 6A and just pick up where it left off, wherever that might be. So,
well, now that they real quick that they showed us that with Lagatha, you know, Ivar saying that it could just be a red herring anyway. It might not ever. It might be something totally different, you know? I mean, we never know. They've showed us stuff before that never came to pass.
Yeah.
It'd be easy for them to record something quick.
He might, for some reason, think he has her in his possession, but he doesn't. You know, like, somebody's pretending that, like, oh, yeah, I've got Lagertha. Yeah, it's Margaret.
And they just dressed her, Margaret dressed up like her.
She's all, I'm not Lagertha, I'm Margaret. Like, shut up, shut up. Shut up.
They got a bunch of soot on her, you know, so you can't tell.
I was entertaining the notion just idly at work the other day that I was like, well, maybe it would, well, this actually would have to be yesterday at work, but maybe it's like he's going to burn an effigy of her and that's it. And everybody's just going to have to be happy with that. And I was like, all right, that's a stupid thought. Just keep it to yourself. But here I am on a podcast saying it out loud. But
I mean, I don't know why these Vikings, when they're fighting each other, all Ivar would have to do is take like 50 guys, have them circle back around and dress them like Lagatha's men in their village, because nobody would know the difference. And then when they're retreating, just mix in with the group and just follow them in.
Yeah.
And then at the right time, turn on them and take them, because they're fighting family, essentially, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, we've talked about that at length, about how all these people don't have any differences between them. They're only being told, but...
You know, Lagertha's hair turned white because she's already exerting herself, because she's actually sent a projection of herself to fight Ivar.
Oh, my God.
And
no,
so she's going to die of her own exertion, which will be better. But she'll humiliate him in the process.
Lagertha Skywalker.
And unfortunately, she will not take out an all-terrain vehicle in the process, and everybody was disappointed. But that's okay. Yeah.
Hearst could take us there. All right. So that's been our little mini quote-unquote spoiler podcast. So if you listened, thank you. All right, well, keep up on the social media stuff, and when we know something, you'll know something. Probably know it before us, because it, you know, we don't have any special info or anything like that. No one calls us up and texts us and says, "Hey, it's coming out in this time." You know, so
we'll check TV time; they'll let us know first, right?
Yeah, TV time will let us know an hour before it happens. I know that.
Exactly.
So,
and stay subscribed, because we may put up some bonus episodes between now and then. So, no promises, but it could happen. It has happened. It happened after last season. We did the National Geographic, so.
All right. So thanks for listening, and thanks for sticking around for this season. This has been a No Ship Network podcast. I'm your host, Steve.
I'm your host, Paul.
And I am your host, Em. Axe time.
Sword time.
Bee stings. We're out.